All right, welcome to the Free Stretch Week 4 edition here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, Stream of Consciousness edition today. Been pretty busy this week running behind on a few things. Sorry for the late release of the show, but I'm just hitting the record button and talking today. Coming off of a Monday Night Football loss to the Eagles, 25-11. The first time in Buccaneer history, by the way, that the Bucs have scored exactly 11 points in a football game, if you're into trivia like that. But not the first time they've ever lost a game in primetime. That seems to be the norm lately as they underperform on Monday Night Football against a really good team and drop to 2-1. They were not going to win all 17 of their games, as we know. And even the high ends of our hopes and predictions, at least on this show, have the Bucs going somewhere around a little better than 500. And that's the high end, which means you're going to lose 7, 8, 9 games. So I'm not going to freak out today or anything like that. If you went into Monday night's game and said, hey, let's win one of these next two, Philadelphia on Monday night and at New Orleans, which is the one we've got this weekend, I would prefer to win the Saints game and have lost the Eagles game, right? So they can still do that. They can still be 3-1 with a big division win and against the team that's supposedly your toughest contender in the division. And everything's good. Like, I would take that going to the bye week, an early bye week. But you got to win the Saints game, obviously, to do that. And that's not going to be easy, although the Saints are without, what it looks like they'll be without, Derek Carr, probably Jameis Winston getting the start there, and all the baggage that comes with that. We'll look at that game on the show today, recap Monday night, and everything else. If you want to get a hold of me, just like always, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com is the email address, BobbyGameDay, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. On Twitter, always love to see you guys and interact on there. You can follow me at BobbyGameDay or just tweet at me if you want to tell me something negative or anything at all, positive, whatever it is. I'm always willing to listen on Twitter. And so there's that too. So Monday night, get to the game. And I went to the game on Monday. Here's what happened. So I wanted to go to the game on Monday. I wanted to take my son. He loves the primetime games. And what kid wouldn't? I mean, it's a school night. You're going to a football game. You're staying up late. I mean, any kid, he's in sixth grade. He loves it. I loved it when I was a kid, except we didn't have any primetime games. But I remember just going to the odd Sunday night game at the old Sombrero and how exciting those were. And just the idea that we were on national TV. But he's been to a Thursday night game. He's been to Sunday night football. He had never been to Monday night football. So I'm like, okay, let's go to the game. Let's check it out. And I didn't have a media credential or anything. So, just like anybody else, I just needed to get two tickets. So I go look online, and the ticket prices were ridiculously high, by the way. I mean, prices which I hope nobody ended up having to pay just on a whim because it certainly wasn't worth it. And I'm looking at this thinking, this kind of sucks. I didn't want to go this high. And so I held off. Then one of my son's buddies, his dad's like a big-time season ticket holder, has a huge block of tickets, like at the 50-yard line, like awesome seats. And he's trying to unload these seats. And, of course, he can't because he paid way too much for them. He's not going to get all these guys that, listen, bless their hearts, paying $300, $400 a ticket or whatever it is. I mean, to me, that's insane. I know a lot of it's corporate, too. But it's just insane. I'm somebody who went to 115 consecutive games and had season tickets for 10 years. But I always did that with the cheapest seats that there were available. But anyway, he didn't want to, he had like 4 and he only needed 2. So he's trying to sell these other 2. He can't. So he's like, hey, you guys want to go? I felt bad, obviously, capitalizing on him not being able to sell them. So I offered him not the full face value, but I said, hey, let me give you something, which ended up being about what the get-in price was on, Ticketmaster anyway. But hell, at least it was on the 50-yard line. So exciting, we're going to the game. It's Monday night. Weather was great. We're there, good seats. And it was, honestly, looking at the game, sitting in those seats, and all the Eagles fans that were there, wasn't that bad. It was about what you'd expect. I mean, it is what it is. If you have spent any time around these parts over the years or decades, you know the score. And it doesn't even really bother me that much. A lot of people live here because it's a great place to live. And, you don't see people, I say this all the time, you don't see people transplanting from Tampa to Philadelphia or Tampa to Green Bay or Tampa to New York as often, Tampa to Chicago. And not that these are even bad places, they're not, but I'm just saying people don't move from here to there. They move from there to here. Why? I personally take it as a compliment to the area. Not that I like sitting in our home stadium while opposing fans cheer things that are negative to the Bucks, but obviously I'm used to it, and most of you probably are too. Yeah, I didn't think it was that bad on Monday night. But the game itself, I mean, we all watched the game. Being there in the stands, not a single time did I get... I think I had literally, if you like had like a, you know, those dial meters they do for focus groups where you're supposed to turn the dial up when you're happy and turn it down when you're not happy and, you know, if you like it or don't like it. If you had dial readings from me for that game, I think there was literally 4 seconds the entire night where I got a positive dial reading where I was like feeling it. And those 4 seconds were the 4 seconds from when Devin White intercepted Jalen Hurts to when I realized he couldn't run, and instead of scoring what looked like a sure touchdown, ran out of bounds on purpose. And I was like, oh, okay. Then we fumbled like 2 plays later, and the Eagles got the points they were trying to get anyway. But literally nothing good happened Monday night. Like, it was horrible. There was nothing exciting. I didn't get out of my seat to cheer a single time. Like I said, the Devin White thing, all 3 or 4 seconds of it was the only exciting moment of the game. And the Bucks just generally got their asses handed to them. That happens in the NFL. It is not in and of itself a reason to get down on the team. I mean, again, especially against the Eagles, and that could have happened against any team, and I'd say, hey, you know, you have good weeks and bad weeks. But against one of the better teams in the NFL and a team that hadn't played that well themselves, even though they were 2-0 like the Bucks, you know, I felt like there was going to maybe be some regression to the mean. I'll say this, though. I mean, that was a complete and thorough ass-kicking up front on both sides of the ball, but particularly when the Bucks were on defense and the Eagles were on offense. Just domination of our defensive front. Gashes for running plays. Let me tell you something right now. And we're going to talk about this in a minute. When the Bucks jerk themselves off about being a run, we're going to run the football, that's our MO, blah, blah, blah. The Eagles are what that actually looks like. The Bucks suck at it, but say they want to do it anyway, but they're not good at it. But that when if you run the ball that way, then you can, okay, yeah, we want to run the ball. Hell yes, we want to run the ball if you do it that way. The problem is the Bucks have one of the worst rushing attacks in football, and yet they still insist on, again, there's a lot of old school football mentality that still permeates the game. Progress has been made. But, you know, Dave Canales didn't have a great night the other night, but then again, the players on the field didn't have a great night either. And even the opening drive. I mean, the opening drive was going okay. The Bucks looked like they were picking up a big third and long conversion, and Mike Evans gets a drop there. It was not an easy catch. It was a little high, but it's a play he makes. He dropped it. Might have been different if they had been able to get that first down and get into Eagles territory. Maybe they get a field goal or something, if not a touchdown. They also had a chance to tie the game when they were down 10-3 in the second quarter and just missed on another third down play in the end zone. And I'm not going to call it a total Evans drop. Baker Mayfield was it was a little bit of a late throw. Evans was wide open for a split second there. Mayfield got the throw. He got it there, and it should have been caught, but Evans kind of was falling back, and there was a defender coming. Maybe if he goes up and uses that big frame and tries to win it, something like that. But that was, you know, that was a big spot too. It would have been 10-10. Maybe it would have been different. Maybe not. So it's not like I'm going to take the whole thing and put it on Dave Canales' doorstep. But again, you know, I know everybody saw the game and everybody especially harped on the safety when they, you know, they had a great play made by McCollum with the interception, but it happened at the half-yard line, so they're on their own half-yard line. And then the Bucks go into a tight formation. The Eagles have, I think, 17 people in the box, if that's legal, I think they did. And the Bucks are like, you know what, F it, we're still going to do this. Like, it's funny because, like, sports is hard to predict, and you don't always know what's going to happen. But sometimes you just, like, before something happens, like, everybody in the stadium kind of thinks, hey, man, this seems like it might be bad. We should not do this or something bad will happen. And then that exact thing actually does happen. When they lined up for that running play, I was like, I really, really hope he just gets out of the end zone. Like, there was no hope for actually gaining any yards. But I was like, I hope just that he can maybe get out of the end zone. Because that's where we're at. And of course, the Eagles knew what the Bucks were doing. We all knew what the Bucks were doing. Everybody knew what the Bucks were doing. And a predictable result ensued. And so this is where I'm at with the Bucks offense, who now they are 2-1, but has not played well in 3 games, really, save for a few spots here and there, and has not been explosive enough and has not been efficient enough, and yet and definitely hasn't run the ball well enough yet, insists on running the ball. And Rick Stroud wrote a little column on it in the paper. And if you don't read get the actual paper, you know, it's on TampaBay.com, Tampa Bay Times. And Joe Bucks fan here, right here on Joe Bucks fan, there was an article about it. And Joe gave credit. I gave credit too. Dave Canales came up in front of the media the next day and said, yeah, that bad call by me. We got to do something better there. That was too obvious and too easy to stop, and we shouldn't have done that. Bravo. I'll tell you, hey, I'm not going to cast stones, right? It's not easy out there. It ain't, you know, the Eagles were a really good defense, and he came out and said it. What I'm more harping on here, and what I've been harping on through two shows during the regular season at least, and what I'm going to continue to harp on is that, and maybe they think this is because they can't do it any other way, but they are really, really adamant that their identity is going to be running the ball. And honey, baby, if you run the ball the way the Bucks do, it better not be your identity or they're going to have some long afternoons. They average right now, let me get the number here, I should have written it down, but they're averaging right now 2.8 yards per carry. That's the fewest yards per carry in the NFL. They have one rushing touchdown. Here's what Canales said. I'll read the quote. I'm reading from the article that Stroud wrote. A day after head coach Todd Bowles gave him a vote of confidence, Canales said he will wear that mistake and learn from it. He also acknowledged that 3 weeks into the season, the more balanced offense he was charged with installing is not really up to the standard. The quote here, and this is the part I don't like, part of our MO is we're going to be able to run the ball at all times, said Canales. The Eagles are the best defensive front in football, and just running like a tight run right there in that situation probably wasn't the best thing. I don't want to go into too much of what else we could have done in that situation, but I definitely have to take that one, you know, first and foremost for that. Fair enough. But the first line of the quote's the part I had a problem with. Part of our MO is we're going to be able to run the ball at all times. Your MO should be part of our MO is that we're going to be able to get the ball down the field at all times, and we're going to be explosive and aggressive at all times. And the running game might be a complement to that. It's something that every team wants to be able to do it. If you hand the ball to somebody, would you rather them get 6 yards or 2 yards? Of course, you'd rather them get six. But if you're going into it with the mindset that that's going to be the main thing about our offense, that's going to be our offensive identity, you know, again, you better have a running game that's really, really good to make that whole thing go. And the Bucs are far from that. Even an average running game won't cut it there. You've got to be able to score points in the passing game and get the ball down the field. And the Bucs' offense was completely anemic. I mean, completely anemic the other night. And I don't think Baker Mayfield was even, like, terrible or anything. If it was a college class, I wouldn't even give him a letter grade A, B, C, or D. I would just give him an I for incomplete. Because, like, I don't mean passes. I just mean you can't, like, what could you tell from that? Honestly. And they picked up a few yards in garbage time in the fourth quarter when they went a little quicker, which, again, I know the Eagles probably at that point were okay giving it to them, so I'm not going to say that that tells you all you have to do is go faster. But the Bucs, when they run tempo, and most teams, when they run tempo and start getting aggressive, you start seeing some yards go up there. And you know, not saying the fourth quarter was like that the other night. But it's distressing. And look, Baker Mayfield, you know, turnovers are something that, if you go through his career, have been a bit of an issue. And the more aggressive they were to get, they probably would see more of those, even though the turnovers haven't been. There was the interception the other night, but, you know, that hasn't been too big of a problem. But you can't keep your offense in bubble wrap, okay? And I'm not even blaming Rashad White. I think he's a Jag personally, which, you know, my acronym for Jag, just another guy. That's what I think of Rashad White. I think most running backs are like that, though. And you catch the good ones at the right times. And you know, like I said, those could be free agents undrafted. Those could be guys off the waiver wire. Or they could be round two or three picks. That's why I don't encourage using high picks on running backs, because they are just as likely to be good anywhere you get them. But it ain't him. And, you know, the offensive line had their hands full, didn't go great. The defensive line had their hands full. The Philly's offensive line also didn't go great. Devin White, like I said, those 4 or 5 seconds after he picked off the ball before he ran out of bounds was the only thing to get excited about, and then you realize, oh. And I would have just been, even if we didn't score there, I would have just been happy not allowing Philadelphia to score, but of course we fumble the ball soon after that, and they score anyway. And honestly, the fact that it was 25-11 doesn't tell the story if you just saw the score about what an ass-kicking that game felt like. But it's over now. The Bucs get ready to go to New Orleans and take on the Saints, who, again, have some dings of their own. Just to talk about the injury situation all around here. for the Bucks. Carlton Davis is trending in the right direction, according to Greg Allman. He was out there at practice today. Kalijah Kansey's got something else going on now because he's, you know, or maybe it's the same thing and it never healed, but he's back out and not looking like he's coming back anytime soon. He already missed 30 days, more than a month after the initial calf injury in training camp. Then he played for what? I think he's got 12 snaps or something like that. Out again. We don't know what's going on with that. Jamel Dean is out, and he was not playing very well to begin with. Not that I don't want to see anybody injured, but I don't know how much of a difference that'll make as far as the strength of the defense. Servisaiah Dennis is out. Kansey, like we said already. Derek Pitts is out. And then Carlton Davis, questionable, along with Vita Vea and Devin White. But Davis did practice. Vita Vea, limited participation. And same thing with Devin White. And we hope all those guys can get it going on Sunday. Saints aren't without their own injuries either, though. Keep in mind, they got a couple of guys in their secondary out. Obviously, Derek Carr as well. So, you know, this is a game the Bucs can absolutely go up there and win in what's always a tough environment. Bucs have had trouble with the Saints in recent years in the regular season until last year. Then they've actually won 3 of the last 5. Before that, they'd lost a few in a row. Of course, the only Bucs-Saints game that truly mattered in the last 10 years was the NFC Divisional Playoff in 2020, and the Bucs won that one as well. And I know Cam Jordan likes to talk a lot of junk. There was some audio of him this week talking. He was asked about the rivalry, and he said, "This isn't a rivalry. We don't think about the Bucks." Blah blah blah. And that's fine. I mean, pro sports, I believe rivalries are overrated anyway. It's more of a college sports thing to me. But I also think Cam Jordan, as the kids say today, what's the word they use? Salty. I think that 2020. If I was a Saints fan. You could talk about any of these other games you want to. If I was a Saints fan, that 2020 divisional round loss to the Bucks would absolutely kill me because that was their last real shot at it with that crew and Drew Brees, and they absolutely should have won the game. And the Jared Cook fumble and a few other really just, you know, these games can hinge on a couple of just really fine lines and some really weird breaks, and the Bucks were able to pull that one out. And it would eat at me to this day if I was a Saints fan. And I know it does, so I get it. It's fine. I mean, you don't have to call the Bucks a rival. The Bucks don't have to call the Saints a rival. You just got to chew on that one from 2020, from now until whenever the day comes the Saints win another Super Bowl, however long that may be. And it's tough. That's a real hard nut to swallow, like the Nature Boy would say. But not concerned about getting into all that right now. This is a big game for the Bucks. This is a big, like, Monday night. You want to win every game, okay? But Monday night wasn't that big of a game, and a loss. And I never expect a loss, but you could absorb a loss there, and you're not surprised by it. If the Bucks can win this game and be 3-1 going into the bye, okay, and on top of that have a win over the Saints on the road, it means they won't lose the tiebreaker, even if they lose the home game to them later in the year, and they might have the tiebreaker if they sweep them. That's huge. Like, this would be a big, big win for the Bucks. And then you get the bye week, which normally you don't want the early bye week, but the way it's been going injury-wise for the Bucs, maybe it won't be the worst thing in the world with the Lions looming 2 weeks from this weekend. So let's have at it. Let's see what the Bucs can do, man, because I got a feeling if they lose this one, things could get, it's going to spiral or anything like that, but you know, all of a sudden then we're back to kind of fighting hard just to stay in it. It's only week 4. I mean, I don't even mean what I just said. Not fighting hard just to stay in it, but 3-1 with a win over the Saints versus 2-2 with a loss to the Saints. You're playing catch up for the division for weeks to come, probably, if you don't win this game. Whereas if you do win it, you buy yourself some future slip ups or some future mistakes, if that makes any sense. So, you know, that's where we're at with that. And as far as Monday night goes, I'm willing to put it in the rearview mirror. I want to say one more thing, though. As far as the game presentation, which was fine. I didn't really notice anything one way or the other. It wasn't as loud as I'm used to, and I mean that in the good way. I love crowd noise. What I don't like is artificial noise pumped in. And maybe it was the seats I have, because usually I sit. I don't usually sit. I usually stand at the rails in the end zone. But even when I do sit, I'm usually in the upper deck, because I'm not insane. I'm not going to pay, you know, hundreds of dollars to go to a football game. But the speakers are like up there, so like they're right behind you, and maybe down lower it's not as bad. I didn't feel like it was that bad. Certainly the crowd was not loud at all. There was never a moment when it could have been loud. I did notice one thing I want to address here. I didn't even know this was going on, but I guess it's becoming a thing. So at the end of the third quarter now, the lights go down a little bit. Everybody gets out their cell phone lights, and they play Country Roads, like the West Virginia song by John Denver, and the whole stadium's supposed to sing along, and we're trying to make that into a thing? Get the hell out of here with that shit. What is that? Who? First of all, I have no problem with the song itself. I have no problem with John Denver or anything like that, whatever. If I went to the University of West Virginia, or West Virginia University, I should say, or I was from the state of West Virginia, I have a couple friends who are, all right, fine, have at it. What the hell do we have to do with that? As someone who's a lifelong Tampan, who grew up going to Bucks games at the Sombrero, who's been to over half the games ever played at Raymond James Stadium, on and on and on, in no way do I identify with that whatsoever, and I resent the idea that we're trying to make this a thing at all. It's like Sweet Caroline. It's these dumb sing-along songs. We need to get off these dumb sing-along songs that people just like to sing out loud. It's an epidemic in society, okay? So, like, with the Gators, for example. That's organic. They do Won't Back Down, Tom Petty. And Tom Petty's from Gainesville. After he died, it kind of started up. And it's just a thing that happened. Organic. That's cool. And then we get the Bucks. And I guess somebody said, I guess in Europe, when they played in Munich last year against the Seahawks, they played it at that game and the crowd liked it. That, hey, fine, whatever. Again, people have all the fun you want. Those aren't Tampa people. I don't care about that. That's not a if Tampa people organically get into it, then okay. But those aren't Tampa people. The song has nothing to do with Tampa. I don't want to hear it. Or you can play it, you know, whatever, during timeouts. Do not make this a thing. I'm going to go out of my way every game I attend this year to make sure to somehow either silently or not silently protest it. And hopefully we can snuff this out. It's idiotic and it's moronic, okay? Quite frankly, let's be honest. And so you can email me if you want to, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com, on Twitter @BobbyGameDay. Don't try and sell me on it. Again, things should have some sort of relevance to the hometown. West Virginia and that song have none for Tampa. I don't care what happened in the game in Munich. All that was a bunch of rich people. It's like a Super Bowl crowd at a game like that, really. And I could care, or I could not possibly care any less what they were into there, okay? That's not our people. Tampa's our people. Tampa Bay area is our people. Not West Virginia, not Munich, nothing like that. So anyway, with all that said, Saints-Bucks, 1 o'clock, Sunday afternoon. Again, the games on Monday night seem big because it's Monday Night Football. This is just a Sunday 1 o'clock kickoff. Sneaky big game for the Bucks early in the season this year. And they have a chance to really, I mean, these division games, they're all worth two games in the standings, obviously. They're big in baseball when you play a million games. They're even bigger in the NFL where you only play six of these division games and tiebreakers swing on them, and it's a two-game swing in the standings. And this is the team, supposedly, that's the competitor for the Bucks. We think, you know, if the Bucks are going to win the division, this is probably the team that's going to be standing in their way the most. Big, big game on Sunday. And if you told me right now, the Bucks could have a season split in this series, no questions asked, home road doesn't matter, you can get one and they can get one, would I take it? No, I wouldn't. I believe the Bucks' biggest chance to do something in the division would be to sweep the two Saints games. Then even if they split the Falcons and the Panthers games, they have a good chance to win the division. The Saints have a backup quarterback. I know it's Jameis Winston. I'm not even sure, you know, how much of a difference there is between Jameis Winston and Carr. Honestly, I don't think there is that much of a difference. But they're without their starter. The guy they want to be the starter, they're without him. You got a chance to make, some headway here. So you won't remember anything about Monday night if the Bucks win this game. If they lose, now you're 2-2. You've lost two in a row going into the bye week, and you're behind the Saints by basically a game and a half game because of the tiebreaker. And still a long way to go. I mean, I'm not trying to overreact if something doesn't go our way, or even if it does, but just know these are the ones, you know, come the end of the year when we're parsing through tiebreakers and we're looking at all the scenarios in December, these are the ones you look back on. And the Bucks have a chance to get a big one here on Sunday if they can do it. So enjoy that. Enjoy the end of the baseball regular season. The playoffs, hopefully the next time I talk to you, the Rays will still be in the playoffs. They play Tuesday and Wednesday for sure. But let me say something on the baseball playoffs real quick while we're at it, because we're starting the month of October here on Sunday. I'm recording this on Friday afternoon. It's the 29th. But on Sunday begins October, And everybody's got their favorite times of year, and I'm one of those positive people that I can find good things about all the different times of year. But the best time of the year is right now. Especially if you're a sports fan, and we're all football fans, obviously, but especially if you're a baseball fan too. October's got it all. October's got football season, the heart of it, getting into full swing. It's got the baseball regular season ending and the playoffs beginning, which is this week. It's got hockey starting up. It's got everything all in one month. And as we go through the month, and then it's got Halloween at the end, which is a great holiday as well. But the baseball playoffs with the Rays hosting at Tropicana Field Tuesday and Wednesday, and then also Thursday if necessary. You know, you play baseball for 6 months. I think the season is too long, but it's 162 games. It's 6 months. And you can kind of get desensitized to it. I think one of the reasons we love football as much as we love football is that the intensity is there all the time. You only play 17 games, and in college it's only 12. You only play once a week. It's only 3 months, or NFL's 4 months. And, you know, if you've got a red zone possession like in week three, and you're in there at the 10-yard line, and whether you score a touchdown or get a field goal, those 4 points, that could make a difference in your whole season, right? I mean, that you, even then you're thinking, oh man, like this is big. Because it is in football. Whereas in baseball, no matter what happens, you never get too high or too low. Okay, well, that sucks. We lost that one. Get them tomorrow. Whatever. There's 197 games left to go and 4 months left. You know, there's just not the urgency there. It's a large sample size type sport. And I'm not saying it shouldn't be, but with baseball, you do all that. Then, all of a sudden, like a switch just gets turned on, and now it's the postseason, and now you, oh hey, two games, you're gone. Like now, you're getting tight when the other team hits a double in the third inning of a game. Uh-oh, this is, our they get a couple runs here, we're gone, dude, our season's on the line. And like your life flashes before your eyes if the other team scores a couple of runs. And it's great, by the way, I love that about the baseball playoffs. Because you do get so just kind of into the rhythms of it, and you kind of get, like I said, desensitized is the word, and all of a sudden, it's sensory overload real quick, because now, hey, here's a 2 out of 3 series, and this whole thing you've been spending hours watching, reading about on the internet, talking about, all gone, two out of three, you know? That's what it comes down to, and it's beautiful. And even the divisional series is 3 out of 5, if the Rays are fortunate enough to get that far. I'm really pumped up for this week. Bucks Saints. All right, Rays wild card games against whoever. Might be Toronto, might be Houston. We'll see. All kinds of action. So whatever it is, the point is, soak it up and enjoy it. October is a wonderful month. It's also fleeting like everything else. And the Bucks' chances to do something, you know, you get one every week, but just one. But you only get a couple against these guys. And in the NFC South, this is a chance to really make some headway. Like I said, big opportunity here for the Bucks. Going to be excited to watch the game at 1 o'clock on Sunday. So have some fun with it. Invite some friends over, family, get together with people, whatever you want to do. Make it a chance to spend time with people you enjoy spending time with and have fun and be safe. Thanks for listening. Thanks to the Joes, JoeBucksFan.com, for giving me the platform. I'll be back next week, hopefully talking about a 3-1 team into the bye week. But either way, enjoy the weekend. Have a great time. And wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.